Again, Acts chapter number 28, verses 1 through 6, titled Surviving in Spite of What They Are Saying. Father God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for an opportunity to worship you once again in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Lord, for this family. We thank you, Lord, for how you are allowing life-changing to impact not only the neighborhood, but nations. Thank you, Lord, for the trust that you've placed here. And God, may we stay humble.
Yes,
stay on our bended knees, looking to you, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. If you receive that, give the Lord some praise. How many of you would agree with me this morning that perhaps one of the most challenging things in life to do is to get someone to see where you're trying to go? They'll talk about you. They'll allow you. They'll tell you that you can never achieve that. That will never happen until they actually see you doing it. Then they show up and then they begin to tell you that I knew you were going to do it. I saw it in you all along. As a matter of fact, I was just about to give you something that you need on the journey. You see, if you're waiting on people to approve you when you're trying to make the rough places straight, it'll never happen. See, people won't show up until after you've reached where you go. And so once you've reached that destination, then people show up. And when people show up, they begin to say things in your life that they really don't mean. The beauty of that is that I don't need for you to bless me in order for God to pull off his program in my life. See, when God has plans for you, then the people that walk out of your life were not supposed to be there anyway. So the problem becomes God keeps stripping people out of our lives and we keep going and hooking back up with them again. Don't you know God knows who you need with where you're going? So you keep trying to give someone a free ride and God is saying as long as you connected to salad, you'll never see where I'm taking you. As long as you connected with John, God is saying you'll never see what I have in store for you. But you got to step out on faith and trust God more than you trust your sugar daddy and your hot mama. See, we have a tendency to put our faith and our trust in people. See, because God is a God that is over yonder. He's way up in heaven. Until you realize that God lives inside of us, that he dwells in your praise, you'll always miss God, so your faith will never connect with your future until you understand that God is alive. I said God is alive. He's not a God in heaven waiting for you to get there. He's a God that is involved in your life right now. He's not a God who's cheering you in heaven without telling you and encouraging you on this earth. You got to understand that God is still God.
Amen.
He sits high. He looks low. He sees everything from a heavenly perspective, but he knows what you feel on this earth. See, that's why God gave us Jesus Christ. Don't you hate to be going through something and someone tell you, I got your back, I know what you feel, and you never experience nothing that I'm going through? Oh, I can sit there and I can comfort you and I can tell you what they even teach in college about pain and what they teach in college about losing a job or losing a loved one, but when you begin to go through something, none of that book says make a bit of difference to you. You want to know somebody been in the storm? You want to know that if God did it in your life, he will do it in my life. You want to know if God turned your child around, he'll turn my child around. You want to know that if God took understood in this story this morning is that in spite of what people are saying, you still have to survive.
Yes.
See, sometimes when people start talking about us, we say, well, I'm not coming back to church anymore. I wonder why you never say, I'm not going to that job anymore. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. All those people over there is crazy. But if you go to your job and they treat you like crap, and you show up 15 minutes before, and you won't even come to God's house until 20 minutes after, when are you going to understand who is supplying your needs? When are you going to understand that you may walk out, but God says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you? When are you going to understand? Take this little job if you want to, and God is going to promote me, elevate me, even into my unemployment. They must not know who you are. A child of God. Paul received a promise from God.
Yes, he did.
In chapter number 27, around verse number 23, the promise is quite simple. God said to Paul, I want you to go over to the other side. I got work for you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know you were in a car accident. I know that you were in the hospital and you thought you were going to die.
Mm-hmm.
But you're still here. Because God is saying, I want you to go to the other side. I know you got haters and critics in your life, and I know people in your life, in your house, don't even like what you're doing, but God is saying to you, I want you to go to the other side. When God promised you something, you have to understand that promise will be fulfilled. Don't you look at your education, don't you look at your social circle, don't you look at your connections, because none of that has anything to do with favor of God. Favor will take you places your resume cannot take you. Grace will take you a place that no connection in the world will take you. See, when God begins to favor you, God then begins to step over everything that you don't have. Because they told you in order to qualify for the job, you need a degree. What they didn't know is you don't even have a high school diploma. But I just got a promotion anyway. What they told you is that you got to get connected in order to get in this place. God is saying, I'm favoring you. I'll touch the highest level of management, and I'll make them personally give you a job and give you a promotion. Don't they know the God that you serve? Won't God make a way out of no way? Won't God do the impossible? Won't God open doors that man is shut? Won't God do it in your life? Then give God some praise. Show him that you're thankful. Show God that you're thankful this morning. Says, go to the other side. Now, when Paul began to journey to the other side, like life, the first thing that Paul experienced was a storm. Listen, I want to encourage someone this morning. Listen very carefully to what I'm saying. If you are going through something and you just started going through something and the first thing you experienced was resistance, I came this morning to tell you you're on the right road. But if God to do it, it seems like everything will be just smooth. No, baby. If Satan calls you to do something, everything will be smooth. If you're sitting next to someone and their life is just a smooth sailing, I'll take a break right here so you can move. Because you're sitting around the wrong person. I want to sit around somebody who's going through rough times like me. I want to sit near somebody who can tell me about the struggle. But in spite of the struggle, my God will make a way. I want somebody to talk to me that tell me I've been down and out, but God is a lifter. I want to talk to somebody who tell me that God is still sitting on the throne. Give him some praise this morning. Paul began to go to the other side, and the first thing that Paul experienced was a storm.
Yeah.
Now watch this now. Because Paul experienced a storm, just because you experienced a storm doesn't mean people don't have something to say. See, because it's not until you begin to go through a tough time that people want to talk about you. Fair weather friends. Fair weather friends is that you don't really understand the relationship until you in the storm. See, I wish, I wish, I wish, I wish, I wish, I pray. God, why don't don't you tell me what storm I'm about to get into, then I can prepare. And then I can remove this person and that person. God is saying, I'm not going to tell you none of that. I'm going to sit you in the storm and I'm going to let you see all your fair weather friends. And what I want you to understand is that when I bring you to the other side, you don't owe anybody a praise but me. I'm going to sit you in the middle of the storm. And when I bring you out of this thing, what I need for you to understand is that the only thing that you owe them is love. You don't need to pay their bills because your blessings is here. You don't need to cover them because your blessings is here. All you need to do is just love them. Paul begins to go through the storm, and the moment he begins to go through the storm, everybody now got something to say. So Paul spends 14 days out on the sea. They have no food, they have no nothing. The boat, the ship is tearing apart, and it's one thing to be going through a storm, it's something else. Imagine 14 nights of darkness. Doesn't it seem like when you begin to go through something that it seems like God turned the lights off? God, I know you got a sense of humor, but now is not the time to play. So you begin to go through something and everything get dark in your life. The money that used to flow in your life, all of a sudden when you begin to go through the storm, the money stopped flowing. The friends that used to just show up everywhere, now the moment that you begin to go through something, you have no friends whatsoever. Even the job that you used to depend on because it was for the United States government, that thing on the rock now. God, what do we do in a time, in a crisis like this? And he says you do the same thing that I've been trying to get you to do all along. Just look to the hill. What's coming? My help going on. My help coming to the Lord. He'll make a way. And so it's just like people, when you begin to go through a storm and then they begin to talk about you. You know, everybody has an opinion about what you're going through. And so here it is, you're just trying to defeat breast cancer. Thank God you're still alive. You know she's going to lose all her hair. Do you really think that's important to me right now? You're going through a tough time in your life and you just got a divorce and someone said, well, you know she got the house, but she can't afford the house. The same God that gave me the house is the same God that's responsible for making the mortgage. So it don't make a difference whether or not you there as long as he there. Now, if you walk out, I got just a little problem. But if God walks out, I got a serious problem. I thank God. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I thank God that the word of God says I never seen his seed beckon bread. I won't forsake the righteous. Paul begins to go to the other side. Paul gets to the other side, and it's not a smooth sailing whatsoever. And your life as a child of God, it will not be a smooth sailing. But anyway, Paul makes it to the other side just because God says you'll make it to the other side. See, sometimes when you get there, you won't look like what you thought you would look like. See, I need to talk to some folks who you made it, but you only got one breast. I need to talk to some folks, you made it, but your lung messed up from drinking so much. I need to talk to somebody, you made it, but drugs has destroyed your body. I need to talk to somebody, you made it, but you dealing with cancer and AIDS in here this morning. I need to talk to you. Yeah, you made it, but it wasn't quite like what you thought. He made it. And the moment that he made it to the other side, watch this. The barbarian people embraced him. Your Bible says, now they did not show them no little kindness, which means they just set it out for them. Isn't it a horrible thing for you to be friends with someone and when you need them, they walk away? And then God put an angel in your life, the one that you thought did not like you, end up being a blessing. Have you ever been going through something and in your wildest dreams, you never thought she would be a blessing to you? In your wildest dream, you never thought he even knew your name. See, but God has already strategically strategically position angels in your life so that every time you take one step of faith, he says, I'm going to meet you right there. Because I deal with every man according to the measurement of your faith. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I won't show it to you, but you got to trust that I got you. When you walked in here this morning, you sit your tail down and you believe that pew was going to hold you. God says in the storm, go ahead and sit down. I got you, baby. And he says, sit on down. I got you. I don't care if they call you and tell you the bills are late. That's not your problem. That's their problem. You in the house? What you worried about? I'm just trying to keep it real. Paul goes to the other side. When he makes it to the other side, the people that he thought he would have challenges with become the people that bless him. Now watch this. Let me say something about leadership. Notice that Paul, along with other people, have spent 14 days out on the rough sea. The moment that they touched land, the Bible declares, I thought this was so unique. It says Paul was picking up sticks. See, church folk, preachers, are the way that they are. Because you built that muscle.
All right.
You built that muscle. Amen. Let me carry your Bible.
All right.
Let me go get you some water. Let me do this for you.
All right.
And so now you done pumped that man up.
All right.
And so now, you hear me tell? Now he don't want to do nothing for himself. Because you done did that to him. Now you say, oh, he's so arrogant. He's so funny now. You did that. But notice Paul. Paul makes it to the other side. And Paul says, I'm not too cute to pick up some sticks. Paul says, I'm cold just like you are. If I want to enjoy the fire, I need to go right on over here and pick up some sticks just like you. So Paul begins to pick up sticks, and you know it's raining and it's cold, and they've been out on the sea, and you know when you're out on the sea, it rains all the time and it's cold and the wind blowing. So Paul touched dry land, and he thinks that everything's gonna be okay, but he begins to experience the same thing on dry land that he was experiencing in the sea. I wonder if you ever joined the church, came to church, and you thought everything instantly would be all right, but you experienced the same issues and problems in the church that you experienced in the club, and you thought that something was wrong with you being in the church, and God is saying, but I gotta purify you, I gotta purge you, there's some stuff up in you, God is saying, I gotta get rid of in you. No, don't look to your left, don't look to your right, look here, God is saying, I gotta deal with you. Oh God, it must be them. No, it's you, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Dry land, the moment that Paul touches dry land, Paul goes and he scoops down some sticks, and he picks the sticks up because they're building a fire. When he picks the sticks up, it says, now a snake bit him. And when it bit him, everybody stood and watched. Just because you make it through the storm doesn't mean you beyond the hearsayers. Just because God has delivered you doesn't mean they still won't talk about you. You know, you think that I came through this thing and it seemed like people would understand my struggles. Baby, folk will not understand your struggle. What people understand is mess. What people understand is your pain. What people understand is hurt folks, hurt other folks. And so if you wait on somebody to get you, you will never be gotten. You got to reach down and encourage yourself. You got to reach down and have personal conversations with yourself, knowing that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Yeah, you saw my boo-boo, but watch me come out of this thing blessed. Yeah, you saw me stuck right there, but watch salvation deliver me. Yeah, you saw where I'm going through. 6. And the Bible declares a snake grabbed him. I don't want to shock you this morning, but you got some snakes in your life. I know you thought you made it and everybody liked you because they tell you that. They just tell the other folks the other stuff. They only tell you half of the story. A snake, what a snake look like? A snake looks like a person who is really a friend. That's what a snake look like. A snake look like somebody who got your back. That's what a snake look like. See, and so we dealing with so many snakes, and we have to understand about a snake is that a snake will never change its nature. See, if you and I are in a relationship, whatever type of relationship, if I bite you, just who I am. The fact that I say forgive me doesn't change me. Forgiving are words. It's the action that makes the difference. Now, so maybe it was a mistake the first time you tried me again. Somebody says, you know, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me again. So you got me the first time, and I think that you changed, so I keep exposing myself to you. Now, who's the fool in that relationship? I'm just asking a question. Because if I know your nature, I know you're a snake, but I keep trusting you, you're supposed to bite me. And the second time, you're supposed to bite me hard. And the third time, trusting you with the same thing. When Paul reaches down, Paul grabs the snake because he's reaching down to get this sticks. And so he's going to take these sticks and he's going to put the sticks on the fire. The snake grab hold of them, and everybody is looking, waiting for him to die. The next time God bless you, stop praising. Just for a second. And just turn around and see who praising with you. There's some folk in the midst of your blessing, they're waiting for you to die. There's some folk in your house. You think they're praying for you, they're praying against you. There's some folk waiting for you to die. And don't you love it when they come to you under the canopy of being a Christian and say, tell me what's going on in your life. I just want to pray for you. And then you think they really want to pray for you. And you discover that they weren't praying for you. They were getting information to persecute you. Oh, Lord, if that's the way you pray for somebody, please don't you pray for me. The snake grabbed hold to Paul. And everybody, the spectators in life, spectators, and I found it amazing that the snake grabbed hold of Paul and nobody reached out to help. Isn't it a sad thing when you're going through something and everybody's watching you, but nobody tries to help? I only need $5 for the medicine. I'll pray for you. No. Don't get spiritual. I'm talking about these $5 that I need to save my life. I don't need for you to prophesy over me. I don't need for you to quote that one scripture. I don't need to tell me what God can do. I came to you because God sent me to you. Are you going to be obedient to God by this $5? That's what I came to talk to you about. The snake has Paul by his hands. And the Bible said the most interesting thing. It says Paul shook it off. Paul shook it off. They were looking, waiting for Paul to die. But Paul was saying, this is nothing. Do you know who I am? Am I talking to somebody this morning? You know who you are. I'm not talking about your your name. I'm talking about your nature. I'm talking to a blood-washed, born-again, sanctified believer. Do you know who you are? I wish I had about 50 people in here that really knew who you are and give God some praise because you know who you are. I'm talking about you really know who you are. Without a doubt in your mind, I know I'm healed. I know I'm blessed. I know I'm redeemed. I know I'm delivered. I know I am. I know I'm a child of God. Opinions of others don't matter. Paul shook this snake off. He says, just shake it off, shake it off, shake it off. And I'm sure they were sitting there watching Paul. He's gone, boy, with your bad self. You need to understand that when you're going through a storm, somebody's saying the same thing about you. Gone with your bad self. He walked out on you. Jesus walked in. Gone with your bad self. She cheated on you. God says, I'll be always faithful to you. Gone with your bad self. They took your car. You went and got a better one. Gone with your bad self. They took our house. You went and got another one. Gone with your bad self. They child acting a fool. Your child turned around. Gone with your bad self. See, God has a way of dealing with us where God won't isolate us from the storm. He'll just insulate us. In other words, you won't feel what just happened to you. You don't feel it. Paul, the Bible says Paul just shook it off. See, when he began to shake it off, you have to understand is that they expected him to die. Paul says, that's just a gnat. You have to understand that when your haters and your critics come in your life and you know that you're being blessed and they say something, that's just a gnat in my life. You have to understand when they say you can't do it, but God said you can do it. You have to understand that's just a gnat in your life. You have to understand when they say you can't have a child, but God says, yes, you can. It's just a gnat in your life. You have to understand when they say the unemployment rate is 8-something%. Yeah, God says, but I got a job for you. It's just a gnat in your life. When do you understand that you got to rise up and you got to fly higher than an eagle? You got to go above your storm, above your situation, above your circumstance. That's the God that you serve. Says Paul shook it off. Paul shook it off. And see, when you begin to go through life and people say things against you, you have to understand that when things get too heavy for you, God says, I'm a heavy load. Won't God carry your load? Have you ever been down and out and you were so far down, the only place you can go is on bended knee? But I thank God that the power comes from the flow. I thank God that my prayers down here will always lift me up there. I thank God when everything is going wrong in my life, I can find comfort in praying to a God that I serve. When you pray to God, won't God open the door? When you pray to God, won't God deliver you? When you pray to God, won't God give you peace in the midst of a storm? He's a heavy load, Sharon. Paul says, I'm going through something right now, and I just have to shake these snakes off in my life. And so when Paul began to shake the snakes off, they looked at Paul and they said about Paul, says, now he must be a God. Little G God. And so in essence, Paul is saying, no, I'm not a God, but I'm created in his image. Therefore, everything that he has, I have. Everything he says about himself, he says about me. So I don't need to be a God. I just need to be a son and a daughter of the Most High. Because if my daddy got it, baby, you can write the check. I got it too. If my daddy is healed, I'm healed in spite of what Dr. So-and-so said. If my daddy said it, I know these children is going to come back. He shook it off, and when he shook it off, then they said he must be a God. See, in closing, this is what I want you to get this morning. And that is, in the midst of going through something, you have to learn how to shake things off. I don't know if you ever got caught up in praise and worship, but when you get caught up in praise and worship, you understand that when you begin to praise God, you just start shaking. You ever been there? And so you hear you caught up in praise and worship, and you begin to shake because the Bible says that God dwelleth in the praise of his people. So in other words, what you're going through, God says you got to leave that aside. When you come in my presence, he says, I want you to put on the garment of praise. I'm going somewhere. When you put on the garment of praise, you understand that I'm not wearing where I was. I'm not wearing where I went. I'm wearing what God says about me. And so in spite of what they say, I'm a survival in this thing. So you can say what you want to say, but I'm still going to survive. You can lie on me, but I'm still survive. You can call me everything but a child of God. I'm still surviving because I know when I put on the garment of praise that God put protection all around me. I know you don't like me. I know you hope I lose my job, but God put a shield of protection all around you. I know your co-workers wish the worst for you, but God put a hand of protection all around you, and he says, I seal this thing. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. He says, I'm a survivor. And because Paul is saying he's a survivor, I say to you, the same God that Paul served, the same God that spoke to Paul and said, go to the other side, is the same God that's in this place this morning. And God is saying to you, you are my child, you are a survivor. I don't care what they say, God is saying, you better listen to me. See, don't it bother you, don't it trouble you when every time something going on in your life, somebody always want to come to you and tell you what they say. I'm inclined to turn my ear and wonder, who is the they? And are you a part of the they? How you always know what they say? You must always be with them. They. Who is they? Give me some names, baby. Just give me all their names. Leave your name out, even though I know I need to include you, because you're a fake friend, too. So he says, you got to put on the garment of praise. Amen. And the garment of praise is the protection of the Lord.
Amen.
And so Paul is standing, and the snake bit him, and he shook it off. No hurt, no harm, no danger.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Because he is wearing the garment of praise.
Hallelujah.
The garment of praise is the anointing of God that is covering your life right now. Because God has an anointing upon your life right now. Don't look at what it looks like. No. See, you got to walk this thing by faith and not by sight. You can walk through life and just close your eyes because you don't need to see in the natural. I need to see in the spiritual. If my spiritual man is correct, then the natural man is already taken care of. See, because the spiritual man, every day when I scream out to God, he begins to grow and increase my spirit.
Hallelujah.
And though I don't have what I think I need, he still supplies my needs.
Yes.
Though I may not be where you are, but I thank God I'm not where I used to be. Though I still got issues in my life, I thank God that they're not as bad as they was yesterday. So even though you have an opinion about me, I'm not inclined to hear that. God, what you said about me. What did you say about me? You said that you'll never see the righteous forsaken or see his beggar bread. God, my righteousness is in you, not in me. God, you said you'll supply all of my needs. Not this employer. You said. See, because even the employer can run into financial trouble. But not you, God. Because the cattle of 1,000 hills belongs to the Lord. So God, here, you begin to pull out. You begin to expand, enlarge my territory. God, you begin to stretch me. Stretch me to a point where I'm blessed and my blessings are abundantly and I can be a blessing to someone else. I came to tell you that you are a survivor. You're a survivor. I know you've been through something, but you're still here. Come on and stand with me. You've been through something. You've had people to walk out of your life. You've had the wrong people to walk into your life. But you still stand because you're a survivor. And the Bible declares, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Wait upon the Lord. God is saying, you're a survivor. I have you in a kept mode right now. I know where you are. I'm keeping you right now. But God wants you to also reach out and make connection with the church this morning. So I want to talk to that person here, that individual, that you hear this morning and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior. I want you to surrender your life to God this morning. Or maybe you're here and you know God. You're just looking for a church home. Because you need to be connected with the body. The finger cannot operate until it's connected with the body. By yourself, you may think you're strong. But what power you have when you connect with God's body. The church is God's body. God wants you to connect with this church. If you're here this morning and you have no church home, we want you to come this morning. If you need to turn your life over, you come. Change yourself. You can't fix yourself. Just come as you are. It's that simple. Yeah, oh God. Yeah, it's free. Watch over us as we leave this place. In the name of Jesus. Yeah.